praying for you. That's all right. So, since last week, I lost a little weight, dyed my hair, got rid of my glasses, but I still didn't get my 30 miles in. Woo, I love you, Pastor. Now, I'm filling in for Fred today. Praise the Lord. But we're going to have a good time. Last night, we had about a little caravan. We took the church van, whitey tidy, and we took that down to the west side of Dayton. And we got a white van and 12 white kids in this van on the west side of Dayton. Needless to say, we stuck out like a sore thumb. I said, man, I haven't seen a white person in a while. And James said, I've seen some white people. They're just all in this van. But Emily and I went down there with a group of teens and had a good time. And Jason and Jessica, and just, man, it was just a blast. So we ended up going and doing a little door-to-door ministry, trying to do some street preaching, bringing some people in. And we just had an outreach down there. It was a Wesley Community Center on the west side of Dayton. We just had a great time. And it was cool because when we all got together and we were all in this place and we were all kind of scattered, we just kind of looked like some sprinkles, you know what I'm saying? Like chocolate and vanilla sprinkles. It was all right. But man, praise the Lord. A young man by the name of Eric gave his heart to the Lord. He was saved last night, and very, very exciting. It was just exhilarating for the teens to be able to see that, witness that firsthand, and be part of that. So some exciting things are happening, and I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I just want to share. I'm so glad that each and every single one of you are here. Really, you could have been anywhere this morning. You could have been sleeping. Well, could have been out on the golf course. You could have been doing a number of things, but you chose to come here. And I just want to thank you for that. This place is a place that's going to accept you. This is a community that, man, we care about who you are and we care about where you're coming from. We're more concerned with your heart, more concerned of who you are, whose you are, and where you're going. And so I just want to welcome you. If you haven't been in church for a while, or maybe you was dragged, kicking and screaming, or maybe you come just because you were excited, because whatever reason, we're just glad that you're here. So this morning we're going to be sharing on what I like to call a better way. How many of y'all would like to take a better way, find a better way in this life? Well, this is what we're going to be talking about today, a better way. So you got your Holly Bibles, and you want to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where we are going to begin. You never heard that before, Holly Bibles? All right. Well, yeah, y'all could go ahead and stand for the reading of the word. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're there, say, got it.
Got it.
Awesome. Good to see y'all, some beautiful people out there. All right, verse 2. It says, to the church of God in Corinth, and to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, and all your speaking and all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Next few verses, they begin to talk about divisions of the church, things that are happening there. And then we're going to pick up again here in verse 18, same chapter. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks, they look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, and sisters. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the things that are despised, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for who it is that you are. We thank you, God, that you are holy. We thank you that you are good. God, we thank you that you love us, that you are love. And Father, we thank you that you are just here in this place. We thank you for your sweet presence. And God, right now I ask that you just touch every one of our hearts, God. Father, there may be a lot going on in each member's heart here. But Father, we just ask that you just touch our hearts, God. You bring your peace. Father, I ask that you'd speak through your word today. Just speak to our hearts, God. That we may be helped, that we may be encouraged, God. And may we leave this place edified and changed, God, by your love and by your word. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you, Lord, that even you are making intercession for us, that you are praying for us even now. God, we thank you. We just be here in this place and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat. So I want to talk to you about a better way. Man, I love that song. How many of y'all enjoyed that song? I'm praying for you. It was on point right at the end when it was flipped and he's talking the whole time. You know, you think he's praying for one of his friends and all of a sudden, you know, he confesses, I've been really praying about myself. Man, that just, it hits me. First time I heard that, I was like, woo! How many of y'all were like that? Woo! Okay, cool, I'm not alone. But, man, right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. First he says, this is to the church in Corinth, but it's also not just to this church, it's to every church everywhere. For those who are called by God, and this is for you. He goes on to say, man, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Do you know that's what the Father is wanting to minister to you right now? Grace and peace. How many could use some grace and peace? Well, man, that's what God is wanting to minister to you here today. Verse 4 says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Man, this whole first several verses is talking about grace. Everything. It's talking about what it is that Christ has done for you. These things being revealed. You have every spiritual gift. You are called. What God has called, he's going to complete. He is faithful to the end. He's making you strong. Do you see what this is all about? This is all about grace. I absolutely love this because, man, when I was raised and just my idea of God, I thought it was a God who was just kind of far off, you know, didn't care too much about me. But my understanding was God that would just accept me just for being good. You know what I'm saying? So even though I was dragged to church kicking and screaming from my mom and dad, I was going to heaven just because, you know what I'm saying, I was an all right person, and that was all right. When I came to know Christ, I realized that it was grace. It didn't matter about my works. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter who I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I started the understanding that this is something that's called grace, and it is a free gift for all who would believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for anyone who believe in him, and they will receive eternal life. And so I started to kind of get the picture. And so this is exactly what Paul is talking about, man. He's talking about grace, grace, grace. He's saying, I want you to know that it's the grace of God has changed me, and the same grace is with you to help you, to strengthen you, to finish what it is that God started in you, to make you strong. Do you hear what I'm saying? Man, praise the Lord for some grace. We're going to talk more about grace. Verse 18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Man, how many of y'all have just looked at the cross before and just thought that was foolish? Wonder why did Jesus have to go to the cross? How many of y'all know some people who think your Christianity is foolishness? I used to be there. I used to think, man, what's that all about? Didn't really get it. Before we even get into that, verse 10, this is the area where we kind of just passed by. We're talking about divisions of the church because this is in particular things that are happening there. But I believe there's some in particular things that might be happening here a little different. Verse 10, it says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. You guys, what does the vision say right back there? Anyone? Turn around. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, endeavoring to keep the spirit, the unity of the spirit, and the bond of peace. You guys catch that unity? The unity of the spirit. The endeavoring, it's work to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. You guys, it takes some work for unity. I just want to share, even as worship was happening, I was just thinking, man, there's so many different types of worship, right? And so many different expressions. And we are all different people. We all come from different places, right? Some of us from the hills of Sydney. Well, there aren't really too many hills up in Sydney. But you know what I'm talking about. Some of us from, you know, East Coast, West Coast, down south, dirty south, up north. I mean, we all come from different places. And so we're different people, and we got all kinds of different expressions, the way we express ourselves. So in worship, we see some people, and they're moving their hands, and they're getting jiggy with it, you know. Some people are just sitting still, you know, doing their own thing. Why is it that sometimes we look over them, and it's just because we don't understand, or just because we're not doing it that way, we judge them? And say, who is that, and what is it that they're doing? And you guys hear what I'm saying? Man, we are to be a body and that is united as one in heart and in mind, in thoughts. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because I'm just glad that you're here. I don't care how you worship and I don't care how you express yourself, because I know a lot of different people I know in this place are come out of a lot of different backgrounds and come out from a lot of different places. And I'm just glad you're here. I don't care how it is that you worship. I don't care how you express yourself and your thanksgiving towards God. I'm just glad that you're here. I'm glad that God has done something for you and you believed him for it. And then you could thank him and praise him. Because I believe even in the word that talks about 10 people getting healed and only one came back and gave thanks. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? I don't care how you give thanks. I'm just glad that you're giving thanks. You guys, let's be a body who's not judging each other and looking at each other because we don't understand. We don't get one another. Let's embrace one another and let's thank God who's done something for us. Do you hear me? Man, we need to get... We week after week, man, we come in here and we have some worship, you know, maybe they play some songs that we didn't like, or maybe there's a different worship leader up there, or there was a different speaker, or pastor said something we didn't like, or whatever it might be. And man, we're talking about that and we're thinking about that and all this kind of stuff. When man, this is not the point. Even in this, he's talking about, man, let these divisions be put aside. Let's be joined together in unity. Some saying, or I follow Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos. They're saying that just these different differences, and they're talking about what they like and what they don't like. And he's saying, none of that matters. Christ matters. Christ crucified. It is the grace of God that has saved you. It is grace that we are grateful for, and let that matter. Do you hear what I'm saying? So let us not be, you know what I'm saying, like, I just thank God for a pastor who preaches truth, who doesn't care what it is that you think about what he preaches, because he hears from God and he's going to minister God's word. And as hard as it is for him, and he suffers for you, and man, he's even on vacation, he confessed, and he can't help but start thinking about some of y'all. You know what I'm saying? He's out on the lake and you're coming up in his mind because he cares for you and he labors in prayer for you. And he, man, let's not get caught up in different things that happen, and let's be grateful and let's be a body who's joined together in unity. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right, moving right along. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. And you guys, we just confess that. We've seen some people that don't get our Christianity, that don't get the cross, and they think it's foolishness. They think we're foolish. They think we may be wasting our lives. But for us, it is the power of God. It is what we stand on. It is what we live and breathe for, because we know that what we were before we came to know him, that was a whole nother story, right? In let's fast forward a little bit. Verse 26, it says this, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of noble birth. So it says maybe some of y'all were wise, you know, maybe some of y'all had some influence, maybe, but he says not many. Man, do you remember where you were when you were called? Do you remember who you were and what you were living like when you were called? Come on now, somebody. What he has done for us and what he is doing in our hearts and in our lives and in our families' lives, man, who are we? He goes on to say, man, let us boast in Christ alone. Man, we have nothing else to boast about. Let us boast in Christ. It's foolishness, right? It's this different kind of wisdom. Even as we were reading, man, it just kind of almost got confusing. Who kind of got lost when we were reading? The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God, the foolishness, the strength. Anyone? I mean, first time I read it, I was kind of like, wait a minute, all right. But man, this is what it's saying. I love this. It says, so that no one may boast before him, because it is you in Christ Jesus who become, Christ Jesus has become the wisdom of God for us. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It is because of what Christ has done that we are who we are and where we are today. Do you hear me? I want to share a couple of verses with you. Today we're talking about a better way. A better way, something that maybe we don't understand. It may be some foolishness to us. It's a different kind of wisdom, but it is a better way. And God has a better way for you today. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. We are not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Justified means made not guilty. You are not made not guilty. Man, that kind of sounded weird. You are made not guilty, not by observing the law, not by your good works, not by what it is that you do, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Did you hear that? If righteousness, which means right standing before God, if we could be made right before God by our works or by the things that we do, Christ died in vain. Why'd he do it? He didn't have to do it. If we can gain our own righteousness, if we could work ourselves our way into heaven, do you hear me? We can't. And I think sometimes we get caught up in this idea of Christianity as being, all right, it's all about, you know what I'm saying, I'm doing good and good morals and all this kind of stuff, when the center of Christianity is forgiveness. The center of Christianity is right here, this cross. It's not about all our good works. It's not, no. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags. You know what those filthy rags are referring to? Every once a month, every five days, you know, in a month, the woman's cycle, you know what I'm saying? Like some filthy rags. That's our righteousness. It's just, it's nothing. Our works is nothing. You hear me? All right. Woo! Let's move along. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is where we're at. We're just going to be camping out here for a little while. The wisdom that's from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption, that is what we are going to make our boast in. That is our boast. We're going to go a little further. We're going to step into chapter 2 because we are going to go into some awesome stuff here. I just want to just wait a minute before that. First of all, this wisdom it's talking about, this wisdom is God's wisdom. And man, it puts to shame our wisdom. You know, he said, where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where are you who is wise? Because whatever it is that you have and you think you have, man, it's nothing on God's wisdom. Because God's foolishness is greater than the world's wisdom. God's weakness is greater than our human strength. Man, that's just kind of mind-boggling. I want to give you paint you a picture, right? In Matthew chapter 16, we have Peter, the apostle. How many of y'all know Peter? Son of thunder, right? He's a little fireball. Well, Peter, he comes up and Jesus asks him, man, who do you say that I am? You know, and some saying, well, some say you're Elijah, some say, and Jesus says, no, who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up and says, you're the Son of God. You Jesus. You know, and he goes on and Jesus says, man, blessed are you, Simon Peter, because this was not revealed to you by man, but from my Father in heaven, right? And so, yeah, I can see Peter kind of, yeah, I was all right. Point, you know what I'm saying? Put it up on the board. And then, very next conversation, Jesus begins to talk about the cross. He begins to talk about where he's going. Foolishness, right? It don't make sense. And so, literally, Peter gets in the way and says, no, I'm not letting it happen. You're not doing that. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, get behind me, Satan. We got a little bit of a bipolar disciple right here. You know what I'm saying? Multi-personality, like he's all over the place. One minute he's saying this, the next minute he's saying this. One minute he's getting commended and blessed and encouraged by Jesus, and the next minute he's, get behind me. Man, what's happening? I think at first he heard something from God. Something was revealed by the Spirit. It was the wisdom of God, and he spoke it, and it was powerful. Then maybe he was getting his pride, and he's kind of, yeah, that was all right, you know? And then he went ahead and, you know, You ain't gotta go to the cross. You ain't gotta do all that. You know, no, I don't want. I mean, let's stay around me, Jesus. Why don't we just kick it for a little bit? You know, get behind me, Satan. Immediately he tried thinking in his own mind, in his own heart, and whatever. You guys get what I'm saying? There's a picture of what we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to talk to you about a better way. Jesus didn't come riding on a white horse. He came on a donkey. I mean, you know. Ooh, Shrek, pick me, a donkey. I'm a steed. He came on a donkey. You know, he didn't come on a five-star hotel. He came in a manger as a baby. You guys get what this is? I mean, it's an upside down, inside out kingdom. It doesn't make sense to our natural eyes, to our natural ears, just to be thinking, and it just does not make sense, does it? Think about this. He could have came, had himself a castle, you know what I'm saying? He had himself a boys, a little bit of a military, a little bit of an army. Well, what did he have? He had the open skies over his head. Jesus was homeless. He didn't know where he was spending his next night. And who was he hanging out with? A big army or, you know what I'm saying, princes? And no, he was hanging out with a ragged bunch of smelly fishermen. This just don't make sense now, does it? All right, let's keep going. Jesus, you're right, he says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, I did not come to be served, to serve and give my life for the ransom of many. Okay, what's that all about? God coming to earth and not wanting to be served, but actually wanting to serve. You guys hear what I'm saying? We have a God who is just does things that is so out there according to our system, according to our worlds. Do you guys get what I'm saying? All right. Let's take John chapter 11. Lazarus, right? Lazarus is sick, and he has his sisters, and they go to Jesus and say, hey, come heal Lazarus. And Jesus doesn't quite get there, and he dies, and he's been dead, and Jesus still doesn't quite get there. And man, they're just getting frustrated. How many of y'all been there before? You ask God to do something, and it's been a while, and you don't see anything happening, right? And you're just kind of getting a little frustrated. That's exactly what's happening here. The sisters come, and they're wanting this to happen their way and their timing, and it ain't happening. So 4 days pass. Jesus finally shows up on the scene, and he comes, and he heals Lazarus. Does that make sense? I think it does if we understand a little bit of the time and a little bit of the culture that they believe that the spirit stayed there with the person for 3 days, and then the spirit left. So what Jesus did, he blew every barrier, every kind of thing that they could possibly put on that and say, oh, well, he was still kind of alive. His spirit was there. No, Jesus said, I'm going to go ahead and wait till the fourth. You guys begin to get to see his wisdom. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand. His ways are higher. Do you hear me? So John chapter 4, right? We got the woman at the well, and Jesus is going from Judea to Galilee, and his disciples say, hey, let's go, Jesus, and let's kind of go around this place called Samaria. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to go through it. And Samaria is the place that you just don't go. Is there any place here in Sydney that you guys just don't go? Anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Maybe somewhere on Maine, somewhere on Miami, somewhere on Jefferson, somewhere on, wherever. Some places that you just don't go. We were down on the west side of Dayton. You know, some people just would not go there, right? But that's where we were last night. They're going door to door. You're teenagers. Praise the Lord. And so everyone's wanting Jesus to go around Samaria. Why? Because Samaria is hated by the Jews. Absolutely hated by the Jews. It's a mixed race. They're just looked down upon. They're just, we ain't doing have nothing to do with them. Guess who Jesus was? He too was a Jew. But he had something different. He had a different agenda. He says, no, we're going to Galilee, but on our way, we're not going to go around Samaria. We're going to go through Samaria. We're going to get to Samaria, and there's something that's going to happen in Samaria. And so he gets there, and he meets a woman at a well on the sixth hour, noon. Why is that significant? I think it's important because, man, people would go and draw water in the morning and in the evening, right? But this woman went at noon. I imagine she didn't want to be seen. It goes on later in John chapter 4, and ends up finding out that Jesus, tells her story. You've got mail. And he just kind of tells, everything that she had done with her life and found out that she had five husbands, and now the person that she was with wasn't even her husband. You guys realize that in that time and in that culture that a woman could not divorce a man, but a man had to divorce a woman? And it wasn't just something that happened private. It was something that happened public. And so what happened was, man, this woman five times had been brought before the public court and been shamed and maybe made false accusations, whatever it might have been. But, these different husbands have said, this girl's done this, this, and this, and this. And in front of everyone, she was divorced and publicly shamed. You guys beginning to feel for this girl? Man, where everyone else would just walk by her, she just was on a journey alone. She wanted to be by herself. She goes at noon to avoid everyone. And who does she find? Jesus, a man that's going to treat her in a different way that she's been treated. He ends up talking and sharing and pouring out into her heart. She's like, who are you, a Jew, to talk to me, a Samaritan? And then he just begins to minister to her heart. Her heart opens up. Her heart begins to get healed. Something happened that day. She went back into her town, and she told the whole town. And they knew this girl because old girl had a reputation, you feel me? And she was before the court several times. And she came, you know, and man, she brought the entire town back to Jesus. And it said many came to believe because of what happened there. You guys see a Jesus who is all about a better way, doing things that are out of the norm, doing things that are different than what we think. You guys get this. A God who says this, man, if you want to find your life, you got to lose it. You got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. If you really want to find your life, if you really want to find purpose, if you really want to find why you're here, deny yourself, lose your life for my sake, and you're going to find it. It don't make sense, right? To us, it doesn't make sense. In order to gain, you got to give and lose. If you want to be the greatest of all, you got to be the servant of all. If you want to be the first, you got to be the last. Man, this is a different kind of wisdom. I think sometimes we take the word and we just kind of pick and choose and take some things that we like from it, right? How many of y'all been guilty of that before? Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll grant you desires of your heart. Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I'll just be all happy in God, and you know, he'll give me whatever I want. And I want a lot of stuff. Matthew 7:7, asking you shall receive. All right, that's all right. I'll stick with that one. You know what I'm saying? Asking anything I want. All right, God, you know. It's like a glorified Santa Claus, right? Man. I think so often we sit over this and we take what we want and we just kind of, you know what I'm saying, yeah. When, man, the Bible, God's word is called to sit over us. It is called to rule over us. And so therefore, no matter what it says, we are called to do. And we are asked, how many times should we forgive? Peter asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? One time? No. Seven times? No. Seven times 70. That's a lot harder one to swallow, isn't it? So when someone annoys you, when someone keeps doing you wrong, when someone keeps doing what you ask them not to do and continue to betray you and continue to hurt you because you're not sitting over the word, but the word is sitting over you, you're continuing to forgive them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Man, it's a different way, right? It's something different than what we're used to, right? It's a better way. It's the way of our Jesus. It's the way of our God. And man, when we do, when we start to begin to get this, it's going to help us. And we're going to find that life that we're looking for. When we lose it, when we put others above ourselves, do you hear me? When we begin to honor, like Pastor's talking about, honor those. All right, let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 6. It says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Do you guys know that? The rulers of this age are coming to nothing. Those who you see on MTV Cribs and, you know what I'm saying, those who you see all over ruling everything, whatever, they're going to be coming to nothing. All these things are going to pass, the temporary things, right? What is this? The grass withers, the flower fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. All right, just get that, okay. They're going to come to nothing. Verse 7. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. Do you guys remember what glory is? What's glory? What's glory? God's what? God's original intent and design. You guys remember that? One of the definitions of glory, God's original intent and original design for your life. So what's glory? Say it like you believe it, you know what I'm saying? Like we all here together, like, what is glory? Y'all are getting it. A for today. No, glory, God's original intent, his original design for our lives. Check this out. So there's this wisdom that's been hidden that God has destined for our glory. So this wisdom is destined. It's meant to bring us to our destiny. It's for us. It's for our original intent and original design. It's for exactly what you were made for. Don't you think we should know what this wisdom is, right? Who would like to know a little bit of this wisdom? If this is really what's going to get us into what God has for us, if what's going to bring the best fulfillment, because guess what? God knows you better than you know yourself. And you think you know yourself, and you think that you got to get this and you got to get that in order to get satisfied. But everything you really need is already in you, because Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you hear me? Okay. So we need to know this wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, that God has destined for our glory before time began. Verse 8, you guys have to get this. Man, this is so good. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. You guys get that? If they knew this wisdom, if Satan knew this wisdom, he would not have crucified Jesus Christ. It wouldn't have happened. Why? Because if he knew what was about to happen, that Jesus wouldn't just stay down, but on the third day he would rise and he would offer forgiveness for all who would believe, man, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have gone down. Guess what we are? We are little Christs. In the same way, man, you guys need to get this. Get this, get this, get this. In the same way, if Satan knew that what he's thrown at you, every trial, everything that's trying to meant to bring you down, what he wants to use to destroy you, if Satan knew that those very things are getting you one step closer to God, getting you one step closer to what he has for you, getting you one step closer to your destiny, do you hear me? I don't think he would be sending everything he's got. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right, let's kind of make some take some examples. Joseph, Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50. Get home, check it out. Good story. You want some story time? There it is, Genesis chapter 37 through 50. All right, the story of Joseph. Here he is. He's taken from his father, his brothers, and his brothers take him, and they end up selling him. Well, first they beat him. They leave him in a pit. They say, you know what, that's pretty good. Then they see some other people, and like, you know what, actually, we're going to sell him into slavery. So they go to sell him into slavery, right? And so he's sold into slavery. Then he gets falsely accused, and he's thrown into prison. 13 years. Man, that's a long time. Anybody been in prison before? 13 years in prison. I mean, that's a long time. 13 years. And what does he do? He has opportunity. God, everything that happened, from him getting beat, to him getting put in a pit, to him getting betrayed, to him put into slavery, to him being, man, getting thrown in jail, falsely accused, every single one of those things brought him one step closer to God, brought him one step closer to what God had for him. Do you hear me? Because it was through all that that God was able to raise him up and put him into the place of rulership. I mean, just being able to rule the place of authority. And so his brothers then come back to him. And what does he do? He doesn't, man, think about it. 13 years. Someone does you wrong, you know, and you just think, you know, how can I get them back? And you just think it over for a day, you know, and you think it over for a week. And next time you see him, oh, I'm going to do this. 13 years of thinking how he could get his brothers back, right? Because his life has been spent. I mean, he might have been in his youth and he might have had some good years, but 13 years later, he may not have been as strong. I'm not as good as I once was, right? Toby Keith, any country fans? Okay. And so 13 years later, I could imagine he's got some stuff and some issues that if he hasn't dealt with, he could be about taking it out on his brothers. Do you hear me? And what does he do? He forgives them. He has a place to deny them of food, deny them of provision, money, whatever. He had an opportunity to deny them, and he didn't deny them one thing. He offered them forgiveness, and he said, you know what? What I have is yours. Man, you guys get that? All right. Here's what happens. I brought these just because I had to show off my guns for Pastor Fred, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to take off the shirt here. No, I'm just kidding. Here's what happens. We get thrown some stuff, right? Satan throws us some stuff. Whatever it might be, you name it. You know what he throws at you. You know how he likes to pull your strings. You know like how he likes to throw some trials at you and some get you worrying, get you just, man, just flipping out in your heart and in your mind about what's going to happen, you know, and why ain't she answering, and why ain't my kids, you know, acting right, and, you know, you name it, right? Well, you ain't got to tell me. I mean, I know, like, he messes with each and every single one of you because he messes with me too. So we just get thrown some stuff, right? And usually we just kind of, oh, man, we just got this extra weight, this extra stuff. It's just kind of, you know, bringing us down, you know what I mean? It's just all these trials. How many felt some of that before? Just these burdens and just Oh, you just feel like you're just walking around with weights and just kind of bringing you down and you just can't handle it anymore. How many of y'all been there before? How many of y'all feel like you got some stuff thrown at you recently? All right, and so you're just walking around with these weights and just kind of struggling and just, man, these are kind of getting heavy. Pastor Fred, I think I need your help, brother. And what do? I think a lot of times we just carry them and we think that this is how the Christian life ought to be, right? And we just kind of get through and it's going to be okay in a little bit. How many of y'all been there before? Man, we got two things that God wants us to do. One, when your cares, your burdens, your worries, man, he wants you to lay that down. Right here at the foot of the cross, he wants you to lay it down and say, God, it's yours. I want to give that to you. These burdens, these weights, man, I want to give it to you. Take it, God. And when as soon as you do that, man, you feel lighter. It's no longer, and then some of that peace just comes in your heart. How many of y'all experienced this peace before? It's a good peace. So that's one choice right there. Another one is, man, instead of just taking all these things and just taking all this weight and taking everything that he throws at us and just kind of struggling to just kind of stay up, do you hear me? We start letting God use it to perfect us. We say, okay, devil, I'll be all right. I'm going to get through. God's going to help me a little bit. And you see what's happening? I'm forming some guns right now. I'm just kidding. No. You see what's happening? The very thing that the enemy used to demise you and destroy you and hurt you, God is using to strengthen you, to raise you up, to make you strong, to prepare you for what is to come. Do you hear me? They really are getting kind of heavy, you know? Man, it's so real. Psalm chapter 23. How many of y'all love Psalm chapter 23? Who can quote it for me? Who can quote it for me? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, he restores my soul. Yeah, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Check this out, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you get that? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you get that? He's saying that your enemies right here is becoming almost a meal to you. If you can learn to be able to extend forgiveness, to be able to learn from these situations and grow from them, it's going to become nourishment to you. It's going to become a meal. Psalm 110 says this. It says, your enemies shall become your footstool. Do you know what that is? A footstool, something you stand up on, all right? Your enemies becoming your footstool. So what's happening? Every time, I just want to share, your enemies are one of the most influential people in your life. The people who hurt you the most, who betray you, they're some of the most influential people in your lives. Do you hear me? Because you've got options. When you get hurt, when you get betrayed, you can hold on to bitterness. You could hold on to unforgiveness. I ain't letting that perp, man. And you just hold on. You put up a wall, and suddenly you don't receive anything from them, and you don't, there's just, it ain't happening. You close off and no. Or you extend his mercy. You extend his forgiveness as he extends his forgiveness to you. And you know what happens then? And then again you get hurt and you get betrayed. You know what happens then? You guys see that? Your enemy becomes your footstool and God begins to raise you up. And Brother Roger always says, when you are walking in humility, you are just in line for promotion. You're just asking for your promotion. You know what I'm saying? When you're walking in humility. I love that. Yo, who wants a promotion? That's the kingdom of God. It's this different kind of wisdom. It's a better way. Walking in humility. Because when we're humble, man, he exalts the humble. James 4:6, it's very similar to this. When we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you guys remember reading this, it said, for the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Doesn't that kind of remind you of James 4:6? He's frustrating these people with this wisdom and their intelligence. James 4:6 says this. It says, God frustrates the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Every time you're frustrated, you in pride. I still can't get over that. Pastor, I still can't get over that. Every time you're frustrated, you're in pride. I'm in pride or something, you know what I'm saying? Like, Yeah, I think some frustration comes up often, and I just kind of got to deal with that. It's because so often we're trying to deal with it ourselves and trying to, you know, like Peter, after we get a little, you know, okay, I can handle this, then we try to stop something because we're selfish and we want it our way instead of God's way. You hear me? And so we get frustrated, and we're just, he frustrates the proud, but God's got a big old but. He gives grace to the humble. You guys, if we can come to him, humility is that, is submitting to God, it's coming to him, it's turning to him, it's saying, God, I got all this stuff and I can't do this on my own and I'm coming to you. That's humility. Humility is a lot more than that, but that's just, you know, you get it. All right. So forgiveness, right? We started out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in the first several verses where he mentioned grace, grace, and grace. Everything you have because of Jesus Christ. He's going to make you strong. He's going to finish to the end. He is faithful who called you, right? Grace. You guys, I want to tell you that the center of Christianity is forgiveness. It's not good works. It's not your own righteousness. It's not, no. It's forgiveness. How many of y'all in here have been forgiven? Come on. That is the center of Christianity. It's time that we stop taking, you know, different things that we like here, and then just kind of we come in here and we just like different things and we don't like different things, and we just kind of, man, it's time we come together as one body and we lift up and we boast in the cross of Christ and we boast in what it is that he's done for us. Do you hear me? And we stop judging him because this person did this and this person, and they call themselves a Christian. No, it's time that we begin to have an attitude of acceptance and begin to accept and receive one another. Do you guys realize what the word says? This is what love one another is, all right? So many different times. John chapter 13, verse 14, wash one another's feet. That's love one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, prefer one another above yourself. Okay, Romans chapter 14, verse 13, do not judge one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, build up one another. Galatians chapter 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. James 5:16, confess your faults to one another. 1 Peter 5, chapter 4, verse 9, use hospitality to one another. Romans chapter 15, verse 7, receive one another. Romans 12, honor one another. Do you guys hear this? This is love, one another, keeping others above ourselves and forgiving one another. Because the idea that we somehow get that, man, who is that person, and they do this, and they call themselves a Christian. Man, have we taken a look in the mirror recently? Have we taken out the log that is there in our own eye before we're wanting to look at the speck in somebody else's eye? Hello? Have we accepted and received and given thanks for our forgiveness and boasted in the cross of Christ and what he's done for us instead of looking and nitpicking at everything else of other people? Did you hear me? Man. I'm right here in this. You guys, we need to grow together in love. We need to grow up together. Do you hear me? Pastor and Steve and myself were at Lakeside a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about love. And this is what I've been sharing even the last couple weeks in the youth, just because it's been something that's really been stirring in my heart. And love is patient. 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 Love is kind. It does not envy. It does. Now, love, here, this is the most powerful one. Pastor, you shared this with me, and this blessed me so much. It says, love thinks no evil. And how often, you know, have you looked at that and just kind of passed it by, right? Love thinks no evil. So every time that you are thinking evil of somebody, you're not operating in love. Do you get that? Man, anytime you're thinking evil of anyone, it don't matter if they did evil, you know what I mean, don't matter if whatever, but you're thinking evil towards them, man, you're not operating in love. You guys get that? That's something that, it's just something to keep in your heart and check and just operating in love. I want us to go to 1 John chapter 2. If you got your Holy Bibles, turn with me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. If you're there, say, got it. First John chapter 2, verse 11 says this, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. You guys get that? We need to get this. But whoever hates his brother and is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness because he does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Man. I think, one, light means understanding, right? It means perception. You begin to see things right. You gain some understanding. So when you hate your brother, when you have some anger towards your brother, you are not in the light. You are in the darkness. And therefore, there's confusion, and there's areas where they're just not understanding, and you're not seeing things right. Do you hear this? And yet, so often, when we're walking in darkness, we think we're walking in the light. But John, you know, straightens us out here because he says, if you hate your brother and you're walking in darkness. Check out verse 9. It says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. You're still in it. So if you think you're in the light but you got some hate and you got some anger towards your brother, guess what? There's some area of darkness. There's an area where there's not understanding. You're not seeing your brother right. You're not seeing some things right. You guys get that? We are going to be going into a season of prayer, and God, I believe, you know, Pastor, you're going to be preaching on some prayer, and we're going to be in need of some prayer. Pastor's going to India very soon, and we leave a Mexico mission trip with the youth this Friday, and we have opportunity for you guys to pray around the clock. But before we even get into this area of prayer, we need to understand this. We need to understand forgiveness, and we need to understand what this is really about. Do you hear me? Because sometimes it's hard to honor those people, pastors. I may have had a challenge honoring some people. It's difficult. It takes God to love like God. It takes God to honor people. It takes God for that. But it's the center of Christianity. Because if we don't honor them just because of certain things that they did, man, we are not extending the grace and forgiveness that we have received. We have received it from God, and we are asked to give it. We are asked to share it. We are asked to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're asked to love our enemies. Despite what it is that they do, we're to honor them and love them and forgive them. And it's not, you know, we're not honoring their sin. We're not honoring the things that they've done. We're honoring them, forgiving them, extending mercy towards them because we have been extended mercy ourselves. God has given us mercy. You guys beginning to get this idea of just this upside down, inside out kingdom? A better way that God has for us. It's called the most excellent way. It's 1 Corinthians 13. The most excellent way is this. It's love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It thinks no evil. It keeps no record of wrongs. And it never fails. This is love. And the Father says, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Love in Jesus Christ's name. That's what he's wanting to minister to your hearts right now. Love. And we need to learn what this is all about. Do you hear me? It's inside out, upside down kingdom. Think about the Beatitudes. How many of y'all like the Beatitudes? Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are, you guys get it? All right, verse 3, you know, it's kind of blessed are the meek, I believe. It says a few different things here. But here's just a little bit of a different translation. Just kind of paraphrase. You will always be happy if you recognize who God is in relationship to who you are. You like that? I do. Happy are those who feel pain because of their spiritual state. That's blessed are you who mourn. You know what I mean? All right. How about meek? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Here, blessed are those who have power and influence, you know, and authority over people, but they use it humbly, and they use it to serve, and they use it to build up. You guys starting to get that? All right, here's one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Here's a nice translation. You are a moron if you don't seek purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Man, what kind of promise do we have in that? You guys, we need to get a grip on this. Just kind of, it's different than the way we think, and it's by the Spirit he's going to reveal it. The very next verse after said, if they realized what was happening, if what was really going to happen with them crucifying Christ, if they realized, they would not have done it. In the very next verse, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It hasn't even entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. But the Spirit reveals. You guys, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to our hearts. We are going to go into a little time of worship, and Darrell's going to come on up. And I just encourage you right now, if there's areas in your heart where, man, maybe you've been hurt, maybe you've been betrayed, and instead of just kind of letting go the weights or the burdens or the hurts, and you just kind of, you know, just been hanging on to them, you know, maybe you haven't been, you hear what I'm saying? You've just been holding on to some of that stuff. Some of you guys have been hurt. Some of you guys have been betrayed, and you've just held on to some bitterness. You put a wall up, and you say, You ain't going there, God. You ain't touching it today. Uh-uh. Right now, God wants you to just take down that wall, and he wants to touch your heart. He wants to extend mercy and grace and forgiveness. Do you hear me? He wants you to begin to extend that, and you're going to only be able to extend that as you receive it from him. So I'm just going to begin to pray that God is going to give us a spirit of repentance, that he's going to just overflow in our hearts expressions of his forgiveness so that we too can forgive those who have hurt us, so that we can forgive an ex-husband, ex-wife, you know what I'm saying, that we can forgive old boyfriend and girlfriend, that we can forgive our brother or sister, our mom or dad, maybe somebody you ain't talked to in a while. Maybe you got to leave here and make a phone call. I don't know where you're sitting today, and I don't know who it is that God's asking you to kind of let go of some stuff, but there is some stuff I know in each one of our hearts that we just got to let down. Maybe you've never received his forgiveness ever. Maybe you don't know this love of God that I'm talking about, and he wants to extend his mercy and forgiveness to you, and he wants you to come and receive this free gift that he has for you. I don't know where you stand today, but I know that you stand somewhere where God wants to be. He wants to be with you in your suffering, in that stuff, and he wants to use all of that for your good so that, like Joseph, you can say, what you meant for evil, my brother, what you meant for evil, my sister, what you meant for, God is using for my good, and I am taking another step, and I'm being strengthened through this. Do you hear me? All right, now, as we just close our eyes, I want everyone to close their eyes. I want you guys to do business with God right now. Just take a moment to do business with the Lord.